Number, that's a, I can't have numbers in qualitative.
Qualitative, but it's more in depth. You know, if let's say you have a research, you interview people, so you interview less people, but like have more information from each of them.
Okay, so it's about
depth,
less versus more. Okay.
No, so, it's also deeper versus more shallow at the same time.
Okay, but I need something additional, because today quantitative, perhaps in the past, someone that brings some numbers, he would say, I do quantitative. No, you don't. Today, no, you don't. So what you need for quantitative, it's not just to bring numbers, but also
the
to bring...
larger n?
What?
Larger n?
Larger n, that's the numbers. But let's say you bring 1,000, 1 million thing. Okay?
Statistics.
But... So it's about working with numbers.
What,
you do with
analysis?
Those Yeah. Today it's very clear that quantitative is regression. Okay.
Is what?
Regression analysis. We will see this next week. It's not only that you bring numbers, but that what do you search there? What do we do with science? X and Y, right? Variables. So you search how X affects Y while isolating all the other variables, and this is the big added value of quantitative research. Okay, so that's what we do in statistics. You isolate other variables. It's very difficult to do that in qualitative research. Okay, so you isolate other variables and you can check if X is affecting Y. For that you need statistics. Okay, so yes, I know that in general we speak about, as we'll see, larger N versus... Okay, it's also about the numbers, but it's also about what you do with those numbers. Okay, so this is research based on a small number of cases and verbal analysis, I will say, on an in-depth analysis. So yes, you search in-depth, I agree. This is the added value. What we said about the mechanisms, I can hardly think about what we said about international status and three mechanisms that this could enter into the regression. No. I can search whether populists affect more global governance. Okay?
Can you explain?
What do you mean regression?
I mean, let's say I go for a quantitative research on populism.
No, but before that, can you explain a verbal analysis, please?
Verbal analysis is that there's an inclusion here of a text. And words and oral.
Can you give an example?
Sources. Archives has words. Newspapers has words. Secondary sources, that means books from other people, has words. Interviews people give me, those are words. So in a way, you can do things. That's why I want verbal. For example, if it's images, I use images. Okay. I want to show what are the main messages of the protest against Netanyahu in Israel, and I will go and I will see the different slogans people is bringing with their hand. Okay, perhaps it's about a picture of Prime Minister hanging Trump and saying something. Sometimes it's about the picture, not about the image, not about the verbal thing, right? So there are some visual things sometimes.
So what you valued was qualitative?
This is what?
What you valued last week, what he showed us. It was...
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Historians, by definition, they do not do... I don't know historians that they combine statistics. They have one... I mean...
Why not? You can combine statistics from... If you're talking about World War II, for example... Or something like that. There's plenty of statistics available.
Yeah, but an historian can do social science, but he's not doing in that case historical research. He's doing. I mean, if you go and you check the history of the wars, and you check if countries that are close one to the other go to war more or less, it's not history. You're doing social science. You're connecting two variables, and you're trying to check whether there is general stability. There are rules.
Okay.
In
the
first
colloquium we had,
I don't think so. How do you know I was not here?
No, because
I will receive.
Your kid was sick.
The wake of the Zoom.
Yeah.
The week you did it on Zoom.
Zoom. Everything was on Zoom.
Where I was?
Your kid was sick.
Your child was sick.
Right.
Not stopping you.
So he said that.
You don't come!
And you don't know.
You had a COVID recorder that week?
Yeah.
On Zoom?
No. Physically.
But
Daniel,
it was two girls,
no?
Anyways,
Daniel, you should know that the first day of class you were not here. We were alone. We'll not forget that. Yeah.
Anyways,
how you dare?
She presented the first one presented her research and it was qualitative, I guess. And she interviewed 11 parents in Berlin. 11 Israeli parents in Berlin. And
It was the PhD,
master thesis.
Okay. So it doesn't matter how many, the number, it doesn't affect anything when it comes to...
11 pounds to
today,
me.
I will be. In the past, if you go for, a lot of tests, let's say, you take from newspapers, you're reading, 1,000... news from the newspaper, so you would say I do quantitative analysis. Why? Because I'm showing on which days there were more news on Israel. Okay, let's say I go and I say I want to see in the war what was published about Israel, etc. So I will see the days that it was published, okay, and which are the key words that appear there, and I base this on 1,000
Articles.
News, yeah. Using LexisNexis, okay? In the past, that would people would consider this quantitative research. Today, there's no statistics there. You are counting words, okay? You are not checking that, you are not isolating things and you are not checking variables. So you are doing text analysis. You can say, automatized text analysis, manual text analysis, this is the kind of things we will go over this. This is not quantitative.
No, it's not my question. Sorry. If I do a qualitative
She's asking the
research,
opposite.
There is no minimum. She did interviews, 11 interviews.
Yes.
That enough for the qualitative
We will go over
research?
That. So I want to go with you to understand something we will see later. So what can you argue about? I guess you are saying only 11.
I'm asking if she can have a solid conclusion
based on 11.
Based on 11. Interviews.
Good. And the answer is?
Yes.
It depends. I will explain you. Let's say her interviews were with key decision makers in Israel-Palestinian negotiation. They were all 11. So those were expert interviews. Those were the people deciding that. So perhaps 11, it's nice.
Enough.
I interviewed for my PhD about 20-something decision makers. It's not a lot, but they were the people deciding, okay? I can use other sources, I use other sources, but for interviewing, that gives me a nice picture, okay? But you can say, if you want to tell the story of Jews in Germany, in the city, it's not enough, 11. And so someone would say, from the 11, she went to university and she interviewed there. That's not enough. So those are students. I mean, you need more population. And your research is not about only students. Someone would say, you went only to Mitte and not to the whole, and Mitte, it's the Tel Avivim of Berlin. You need to go to check other neighborhoods. So we will see that. How variation gives you validity, okay, diversity. We will go for that, okay, but it's not about the number only, it's about whether you cover enough, if you receive enough data to show validity, okay, we'll go over that. I need to advance because we have half an hour and we have already extended. We can focus on this and then at the end, I will happily answer everything. So we have qualitative and we have quantitative. Studies based on a large number of cases, yes, we need large N. I remember, I want to repeat, for me, someone cannot go from class here. Yes, if if I ask you what is qualitative and what is quantitative, you need to answer large N. It's large N, and I will also say plus statistical analysis.
Mother N, numbers?
N is the population. It's the number of cases.
Kama yesh ba-midgam.
It's the populated...
Ba-midgam.
Okay, so it's large N
versus...
The
sample?
The sample, yes.
Okay. Good.
What does it mean today? You keep on saying today this and today that. Did it change the way research is done? You say in the past, if you would have a high
yes,
end,
it's good that you ask.
Today,
it's good that you ask.
Tomorrow, so
in the past, social sciences was mainly about qualitative analysis, and people doing quant was something special, to say the least. For sure, experiments. It's not the kind of things doing. It again. I'm telling the story for international relations. For political science, it was much more accepted. In psychology, it's all about using those tools. Sociology, you have the two things. So, I mean, in international relations, that was something exceptional. With the pass of time, it became more and more in the mainstream. So if you don't have some statistical analysis, you cannot say that you confirm a theory, okay? Or if you don't have experiments. So today, it's seen as, we'll see this, but it's seen as the, you know, the benchmark. It's seen as part of the benchmark. At least to have or quant, and the best thing you can have is a combination of quantitative with qualitative. Okay, or experimental with qualitative. So you earn from the best of the two worlds. Okay, so the research design is the way in which we plan to answer the research question we set and the hypothesis we formulated. So we want to check if populist, how populist approach global governance, and we want to check if populists sometimes are interested in international status. And they, against what we would hypothesize, under some conditions, they are more willing to be altruistic and engage with global public goods, or devote efforts towards global public goods. Okay. Now, how I research that? I need to say, well, I go for 2 cases. 5 cases, 10 cases. Perhaps I will bring the whole data set on populists in the last 50 years and some variable showing me something about global governance, perhaps money that countries invest in the World Bank or in other international organizations. And for me, this will be a proxy of how much money its efforts, right? So I can use it to say, well, if you invest more money, it seems that you are more willing to. Okay.
But how are you combining them?
I can do quant, and then I can say, but I want to check 2 cases from there. 2 cases in which, now that I see that there are some cases that, yes, they were willing to do more than in the past. Okay, give more money. India giving more money to environment than under Modi, under a populist, than under non-populist government. Oh, I want to see why. I want to see how. The numbers are not showing me that. The numbers are only showing me that he's giving more money than previously, and that's not because of other reasons in the middle. But I want to see why and how that is happening. Then I will enter with qualitative, and I will search the 10 years of Modi, and his explanations of why giving money, and what he says when he goes to the United Nations General Assembly, and what his ambassador said when he gives money, etc. And I will create a story based on what he's looking for. Okay. So different designs have different advantages and disadvantages, and there's possibility of combining them. 2 main types of research design. Again, we already seen this. Now, other types of research, and we'll see that some of them later, okay, next week even. experimental versus observational. What's the difference? What is experimental? Nisui. What is Nisui?
You prepare the test.
Not only I prepare the test, I do. Control what?
The manipulation. Variables.
The manipulation. Mm. So I cannot go, I mean, let's say, in an observational thing about populism and global governance. I cannot ask Moody to do something and checking if he, when I told him, oh, you have a, I give you $1,000 and you can decide whether to invest in environment or invest in football for the India, cricket for the Indian team. What do you prefer to do with your $100? Okay, I cannot play with him. I just go and I see how much money he gave and how much. It was not my decision, right? In experimental, you will do that. You control the maker. That's good and that's bad, right? That's the disadvantage of the thing, right? That's not real life, people will say. That's your game, right? You are playing with students that if they are decision makers, what do they will do with Israel-Palestinian conflict? Ah, they are not taking... decision-making processes are a bit more complex, right?
What about all these...
In your shoulders, it's the destiny of the people. Yeah, people will go to war and they will be killed and they will be injured. Making decisions in Mount Scopus while you are receiving 50 shekels per hour for answering questions, it's not the same like taking decisions. That will be my criticism of experiments, okay? But it's nice. Okay, it's a nice proxy. Sorry?
No, you answer my question.
I have already shown my opinion about the experience.
No, but what about the other, what's the other one? Lomax versus what? Observational in Hebrew?
That's PT.
So I look at how, what they do. I do not control the what they do. So what are the questions to decide? Do researchers have control over the research?
If I look at research...
Wait. Let me advance. If not, we have a lot to...
Okay.
If the answer is no, do researchers have control of the research? No. So what is experimental observation? Do they randomly assign subjects to experimental and control groups? So I decide, okay, you, the populist of Europe, will be there, and you, the populist... No, right? So I cannot control also the groups, not only... what I'm asking or what I'm presenting or the text they will read, but also how I prepare, who is receiving the placebo and who is receiving the real thing. Do they manipulate the independent variable to see effects on the dependent variable? Can I manipulate variables if I'm doing observational?
No.
Experiments manipulate the independent variable. One is receiving the COVID-19 thing, one is receiving placebo. Okay, and I see that what is happening in the dependent variable. If more people is being killed, it's huge. We don't understand the ethics behind this kind of decision when it's about health, right? So people all around the world were saved because they received the thing, and people were not saved, they died because they received the placebo. It's difficult to do these things. But, I mean, I'm not entering into ethics here, but for sure, to do these kind of things, you need ethics.
That's why they have the Helsinki committee.
Yeah, so that's why if you do research with kids or things like that, you need to, today, you need to do ethics committee in any case, because you don't completely understand, in particular for research that involves experiments or interviews or things like that.
Many times they stop the experiment in the middle because they cannot ethically continue because they see it's working already, so
sure. They
cannot give placebo.
Sure. Now, we don't have that placebo that could be so dangerous in IR, right? But, okay.
But all of the good researches started from like really bad...
Right. That's in the past, when there were no ethics committees.
But they found incredible things, like without their discoveries we would never be where we're at today.
Sure.
But, you know...
Which kind of... you know some of them. You know.
Psychology, the whole research with the children and how they behave and the children...
Which is the one, the famous one, about the one...
Punching the door.
What?
Punching the doll.
What is that?
I don't remember how it's called, but that an adult is punching a doll, like according to some certain behavior, and then they saw how kids behave towards that doll.
That was fine. But those experiments of, you know, that someone received electric... is a thing that he acts like he's receiving, right? It's not real. And then what people do is look when they go up and put more electricity to others. That's not real, okay? But people is looking at them and they are checking if they react or they do not react. I'm not sure this kind of experiment would pass to the ethics committee.
Even more scientific research, like trying to understand how children see racism is not accepted today. Like, you can't just give a child a black doll and a white doll and ask him who's the bad guy.
Really?
You can't do that today.
Now, good questions, but let's say if I want to say...
Well, if it's a dog, you can do it.
Okay, but let's see. If I want to do experiments on people's attitudes towards nuclear attacks, and I want to check if you would allow a nuclear attack on Japanese versus a nuclear attack on Germans. And for sure, what you are checking there are if racism about yellows versus black or white, it's affecting the opinions. For sure, it's an ethical issue. I'm not sure if today that would be allowed. But in IR, checking if racism affects implementation of nuclear war, it could be important. Still, if I am speaking about what I know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that is there. Okay, other types of research, sometimes we divide it between variable-based studies and case-based studies. Okay? Do we want to know a few things about many cases or a lot about a few cases? So even if you are speaking about qualitative, this is the kind of thing. Okay, do I want to know, perhaps I want to do one case, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, because I want to know it but in depth, in the different, you know, negotiation process, etc. So I'm not interested in all the intractable conflicts all around the world. I'm interested in one, because for me it's the paradigmatic one. And we need to explain why, this is part of the research design.
But then how do you do generalization?
Perhaps at the end you will need to show why the Israeli-Palestinian conflict can be important for the Irish conflict and the Basque-Spain conflict and other kind of ethno-national, ethno-religious intractable conflicts. I use a lot of cases to say this conflict is not similar to some conflicts, but it's similar to other conflicts. Okay? So yes, I have done that in my PhD dissertation. Okay, I thought that I will do something comparative. At some point, I understood that I prefer to focus on only one case, and then I say I will need to learn much more. But I think that I can find some general paths in this sense. Are we interested in the level of variation of the 11-pendant variable and its relationship with the IV, or interested in complexity, in detailed causal mechanism, in non-hypothesized new insights? I want you to say. Okay, it's obvious that one refers to one and the other to that. Which is the one that is about variable-based studies, or which is the one about case-based studies? Which one is interesting, the level of variation of the dependent variable and its relationship with the IV?
Variable-based studies.
And which is the one focused on the complexity, detailed causal mechanisms, and new insights?
Case-based
study. Okay, so you see what are the advantages and disadvantages. Examples, I think we have already talked about some. I want to advance. Okay. So now we will focus only on qualitative, some things that are important. What is conceptual clarity and why it's so important?
What is the concept that we're talking about? And are we actually talking about the same thing? When I say anti-Semitism,
I wanted to use the
case. Do you think about the same thing that I think about?
So if I define anti-Semitism as just hate, let's say, aggression against Jews. So perhaps the case that was explained by Yuval, the cases, last week, were still considered anti-Semitic because there was aggression. But if for me anti-Semitism is not about the aggression itself, but about hatred and perhaps hatred not necessarily based on self-interest or on a specific relation, but a hatred, let's call it this way, irrational hatred, okay? So no rationality behind this. It's not because, you know, calculations of costs and value and benefits, that is rationality, benefit cost calculations, but about an irrational thing that I could not accept you living near me. Okay, this kind of irrational hatred, that's anti-Semitism. But does anti-Semitism need an action? So, what is anti-Semitism? Someone, let's say it this way. If someone sees a Jew and says, oh, another time a Jew, I don't want him here. But he thinks about that. Is that anti-Semitism?
Yeah.
Or anti-Semitism is that guy that goes to the Jew and can say, you need to go from here, you are not accepted here, you are a Jew.
Well, who defines that? I mean,
that's the issue. You define that. You define that because you are doing the research, and you define that based on?
Literature.
Literature, that means accumulative. What others said, you try to connect with others' research. If you use a complete different definition for anti-Semitism, you need to acknowledge that because your work would be, perhaps, will have different results, different findings, and different conclusions from others. So conceptual clarity would be key for what we'll see that is called internal validity. What are we talking about? What is what we are measuring? You are measuring aggression. I am measuring hatred. You are measuring irrational hatred. I am measuring also including rational hatred. Okay? So we need to be on the same page about what we are researching. What is our independent variable and also what is the dependent variable, by the way. Okay? That's good. What is reliability?
Reliable?
I will give you an example. So Sandra will search for examples of populism in global governance, and she will determine when the mechanism is about status seeking through competition, through creativity, through, the first one was emulation. Okay? So she will do that with the raw material. I will do the same with the raw material. And then what we will do, we will check if what she thought it was about one of the mechanisms, I also agree with her. What happens if we two agree? There is reliability or no reliability on our coding. That's called the coding process. In analysis, there is reliability. What happens when, let's say, I gave you the raw material, and I gave you the raw material, and then you meet together, but what you thought it's creativity, you all the time think it's competition. So there's no reliability. So reliability is the capacity to, when you do the analysis, of returning to the same data and having exactly the same results.
And how to fix that?
If you don't have, so in general what people do with this coding is, and you have a model, so I will give you 10, and then I will give you 10, okay, take 10 examples, and then we will check together, and then we will, and you have an explanation of what is each of the mechanisms, okay, and so perhaps I will see, Mandy, do you understand exactly what is that creativity? Why do you thought they are in creativity? And why you thought, no. So let's say that for the next time, every time that appears something like this, we will consider it creativity. So we are defining what our concepts are and our mechanisms, But now we are searching our colors to be on the same page. So we
fixing definitions.
In journalism, people working with text analysis, they do this all the time. It's called intercoders reliability, and there's Kappendorf. There are a lot of, believe me, methods. You would see that in communications, they are experts on this. Okay? Checking if the coders, when they check the text, they understood the same by the text. The same with other kind of research. Okay, but the idea is if I return to the analysis, I will understand exactly, and I will use the guidelines, I will understand exactly what happened there, exactly as the one that did. So this, yes, reliability is about replicability. Okay, yes. What you said. What is validity? And we have two validities.
External and internal.
Yes. So internal is that the findings are accurate and correct in the examined case. Okay, so internal validity, what that means that I'm saying so conceptual clarity, I need to say what is populism. Okay, the concept should be okay. I need to see that the different coders code in the same way. But then I need to see if findings are accurate in terms of, well, the money. I mean, I'm saying that the data I'm using, it comes from some place. For example, I told you about how much money those governments give to the World Bank, okay? But perhaps, first of all, perhaps that money is not correct in the data set, okay? It's not valid, the kind of data you are having. Some countries, they will write that they give a lot of money and then they will not give that money, okay? Or they will, they are based on numbers that are not valid. Sometimes, you are putting there also money they give, but in fact it's from loans they received in the past from the World Bank. So they are returning, in fact. It's not money they are giving. Okay? And more and more. So you think that what you're finding it's something, but in fact you cannot rely on those. So there's a problem of internal validity. Whether what you think you are seeing in that, for that, those specific variables are correct. Or people will say, well, but you know, money giving to the World Bank, it's not about, you know, global public goods. Perhaps you just want to be okay with the United States. So you define a proxy that it's not a good proxy. Go for another proxy. Check if those governments give money to INGOs. And non-American INGOs. So to be sure that, check if they give money to the Greenpeace or to the Oxfam or to Human Rights Watch or I don't know.
They don't.
Okay? So your proxy, you think that you are checking something, but it's not a good proxy for checking something. An example, we need to finish, right?
Yes.
We started at 5, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so this is about internal. I don't have time now, but perhaps later when I will talk about the battles for legitimacy, I will explain that case, remind you that. What is external? Exactly what we said that historians do not do. Findings can be generalized to a large number of cases. So yes, internal, yes, you are telling me the story of what happened to those markets in Algeria in those years, perfect. But can I infer from what happened there that today that is happening in the markets in Algeria? No. Can I infer that that happened at the same time in the markets all around the French Empire?
No.
Can I infer that this is happening today in any market, if I go to any market, there will not be anti-Semitism, but... Okay? So, this is the kind of thing. Whether my finding can be generalized or not. If my story, it's a bigger story. If what Trump is doing with peace, it could be seen as a story of all populists. Regarding peace, if what the Bukele is doing regarding crime, it could be seen as a more general level story. That's why in the conclusions I return and If what I'm speaking about in my PhD dissertation about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict can be used to understand different things from the Basques and the Irish people and the Colombians, etc. Okay? Questions on this? This is key. If you ask me, you will need to be more sure on this than on this. Reliability in general, you don't have coding, etc. But here, this is key. And this is key in qual, this is key in quant, by the way. Okay? So what is better in general? Now you understand what is the advantage and the disadvantage of each of those kind of research. Which one is better in external validity?
Quantitative.
Because they have more cases. And it's statistic, they isolate other variables. Which one is better in showing that when you go and you enter into the mechanisms, you understand if they are accurate or not? In term. I will tell you a story about quantitative research. I also have my criticism of them. Okay. Sometimes I get a data set, I'm joking about what I'm seeing. They don't know anything about what happened in Guatemala in that year. And you incorporate it. Okay, I will tell you a story that sometimes you... So the best of the two worlds, it's in general the same. Okay? I will finish with this just to show you some examples, but we will return to this for sure. At the end, this is the key thing for you. This is what you will need to select if you are going for qualitative research, and I guess most of you will do something with qualitative research in your seminars and your... Okay, so case studies. What is a case study? You tell the story of one case in general, or two cases, but you don't necessarily compare between them. You just go for the theory and you check what happened in the case. Okay, I will not enter too much now, we will see this later. What do you do in process tracing? That in fact, some people say that process tracing is a kind of case study. What do you do with process tracing?
You trace what happened.
You trace what happened. Why sometimes it's different? Because case study could be a picture. At some point you see what is happening today with populism. What do we have with process tracing? You search for Modi, how at the beginning he was not interested, but then he wanted international status, and then he started.
So it's more chronological.
So you check the process, and you there you see the causal mechanism. I particularly like the process tracing. I will show you an example of process tracing after next week, okay, in 2 weeks. Okay? Comparative analysis, what is?
Two studies or three.
Case studies being compared, but you need, there are also for this method, you need some, what are you comparing? There are two big cases, we will see this, the most similar and the most different. So what is the most similar? You search for all cases, similar in a lot of things, but different in one. Other option, you see, you select a lot of cases different in a lot of things, but similar in one. Okay, this kind of research design is the one that will explain you why, under which conditions this is happening. Under which conditions populists are more willing to devote efforts in global governance. What is content analysis? I collect
archives,
a lot of...
What? Archives.
I collect a lot of... Could be archives, but that's called in general archival analysis, but it's a way of content analysis. I collect a lot of content. In general, it's about words. Okay, what do I... newspapers. In general, when I collect from news, so a lot of content analysis, and I check a lot of things. They are not only about the discourse. It's not only about the discourse. How many times there was in news about Israel-Gaza war? Okay, which kind of which journalist was focused on this? Is it about journalists or more about agencies? Does it appear at the beginning or at the end? Okay, so things that are not necessarily about discourse, but it might include also discourse. So content is about that. Discourse analysis is only about the discourse. It's only about the text. And there you come with theory about, in general, there are different kind of methods on how you look at the discourse. One of those is framing analysis that I also will show you. In fact, I will combine process tracing with framing analysis. I will look through the case, but I will search there for different frames. So these are specific themes, temas, temot, okay, categories that they will explain the situation. Last but not least, network analysis. We don't have time here, I don't think. But in sociology, and you will see this in communications a lot. There's a great scholar here, a German scholar, doing network analysis, that in fact what you do, it's a sort of content analysis. You try to think about Twitter. So millions of tweets, and you want to see who is tweeting with whom. Okay, so you do not want to check what they are saying necessarily, but do want to see who are the friends of whom, who is retweeting what, and who answer. Okay, and the bots, the Indian bots that they retweet. So this kind of thing, and you check the groups there. Okay, this kind of thing is connected to network analysis, and we will also try to show at least some examples.
These are six different types.
And there are more. Yes. I will need to stop here because we are already past. Okay, but this is in fact what we'll focus in the next classes. Okay, we'll have a class on quantitative research, and then we'll go back to this. I will show you an example, and from there we will finish. Why this is important to me? If you have some specific method you like more, you want to focus more on them, and it's particularly important for you, let me know, because even I can change perhaps some arrangements to try to bring you someone in particular for that. We will try to bring someone from quant. I will show you our process tracing and discourse analysis, and we will try to do something also about content analysis. We have also there Gisela coming with her own research on this.
Okay,
we've stopped here. Bye. Thank you.